Hello again, friends. A whole bunch of awesome students hit me up this past weekend on into this week. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. It's March 17th. But people weren't asking about Ireland. They were asking me about Brazil, saying, hey, boy or dude, what's going on? You taught us about this awesome El Presidente in Brazil, Dilma Rousseff. And then I read all these news stories that hundreds of thousands of people are protesting against her all of a sudden and are calling for her to be thrown out of office or to be impeached or something like that. Is the Brazilian government in chaos and calamity? Is it getting ready to crash? No. But it is an interesting thing happening in Brazil that speaks to a wider economic and corruption issue that the current government is facing. Let's call this one Dilma's Democratic Dilemma. It doesn't exactly make sense, but I think Brazil is one of the most vibrant democracies on planet Earth right now, as witnessed by the fact that perhaps a million people go to the street to protest about what they see as their government taking the wrong direction. Where else is that happening at, friends? Brazil's awesome. The people are awesome. Shout out to my friend Geronimo down in Sao Paulo. The people down there are awesome. They have a really strong sense of participatory democracy, and that's refreshing to see, even if it's in the form of some protest against the government, which is not doing so well right this second. Okay, well, let's get to that just very briefly. What's going on? Why would people be protesting? What are they fired up about? Well, as suggested, over the weekend, that would have been March 15th and 16th, or 14th and 15th here in 2015, hundreds of thousands of protesters gathered in multiple cities. I believe the biggest turnout was in Sao Paulo, in Brasilia, and probably Rio de Janeiro. Sao Paulo was probably the biggest one. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps up to a million or so. It's hard to judge when you get this many humans hanging out. And they were out, a peaceful protest. But these folks who were protesting were incensed or downright pissed off about the serious economic woes that Brazil currently find itself in, on top of a massive scandal involving the state's oil company, Petrobras. Petrobras is a state-owned, state-controlled oil company. It's not a private corporation. And so there's been a whole bunch of corruption things going on inside of that company. Probably some other issues. I think also the fact that Dilma Rousseff and her political party, the Workers' Party, I think it's in Portuguese, I think it's PT. I think PT is the abbreviation. The Workers' Party is all you need to know for now. And they've been in power now for 16, 17 years, a decade and a half, solid. And I think that all democratic societies get a little fatigue when one political party's been in charge for too long. And now, if one political party can be in charge forever, as long as everything's awesome, nobody's going to complain too much. But if one political party's been in power for too long, people just get tired of it. And then if things start to go south, people really get tired of it. They're like, this political party's been in charge this whole time, and now our country's not doing that well. So I think you have a combination of economic ills, big corruption issues, and fatigue, a political party fatigue. Because Dilma Rousseff of the Workers' Party, the PT, she just came into office. It's only been a couple years, right? She hasn't been in office in herself. She hasn't been in office that long. Again, her party has been in office for 16 or 17 years. And she came in kind of at a high point for the political party. A couple few years ago, Brazil was doing really well. Totally awesome. Oh, we had them in the BRICS category, the BRIC, the BRIC countries that were up and coming, economically growing and vibrant, with growth rates consistently in the 5, 6, or 7, or 8% GDP growth every year. Brazil is in that category. Massive foreign investment flowing in. Brazil's currency, the real, was one of the hot traded monetary units on planet Earth. It's jumping in value by saying, Brazil, Brazil, Brazil. Oh, and Brazil's getting ready to host the World Cup. And Brazil's getting ready to host the Olympic. Brazil's an up-and-comer. That's what was going on a few years ago in Brazil. And exactly since she came into office, it's kind of been on a downward slide. So why were all these people protesting? And by the way, they already have the next round of protests scheduled for, I think, April 12th or 13th. So about a month from now, they schedule protests in Brazil. So the protests are mostly about this economic slowdown, and it's not even just Brazil's fault. It's been a worldwide recession, which has slowed the demand for some, or if not a whole lot, of Brazilian products. And that affects the world economy, now affects everybody. So a world slowdown, specifically China's economy significantly slowing down, affected Brazil because Brazil was exporting a lot of raw commodities to China. So when China's economy slows down, they don't need as much stuff. They don't import as much stuff from Brazil. Brazil doesn't sell as much stuff. The Brazilian economy starts to go down. And this, of course, has a ripple effect within Brazil of rising unemployment, rising inflation. You start to marry these things with corruption that I've now alluded to, and now you start to get a sense of dissatisfaction within the majority of the population. Now, this isn't even to speak of one of Latin America's, Brazil specifically, but Latin America in general's biggest ills, which is wealth disparity. So you have, you know, the haves and have-nots, and there's a huge chasm between. All of Latin America has always been plagued by this. Brazil is no exception. So, and they've been working towards bettering that situation for the last couple decades, but it's not gone away. There's still a whole lot of endemic poverty in Brazil. So that exacerbates people's tensions and ire and anger when the economy starts to slip. Okay, so economic slowdown, rising unemployment, rising inflation, corruption, a work fatigue of the ruling Workers' Party, which is Dilma Rousseff's political party. And that political party, by the way, if you don't know this already from former World Regions lectures, the Workers' Party, as the name might suggest, is a left-leaning political party. Some would say far left. I say kind of moderate center left. Some would even call them socialist. And what do socialist / left-leaning political parties want? Redistribution of wealth. Ha! Back to that wealth disparity thing. So this political party came into power a couple decades ago under the auspices of, hey, we're going to try to create a more equal society. How are we going to do that? We're going to use state revenue from Petrobras, our oil company, but also maybe raise taxes on the rich and redistribute some of that wealth in terms of better educational benefits or health benefits or housing benefits for the masses of Brazilians. Remember, Brazil is a gigantic country, biggest country in Latin America, fifth biggest country on planet Earth. I think it's like the fifth biggest population on planet Earth, too. So you have tens of millions of people here, many of which are below the poverty line. So, of course, a left-leaning political party has a lot of followers. Those that have not will vote for a party that says, hey, we're going to try to distribute wealth of our society more equitably and raise people's standard of living. That's why they came into power. They've actually done a decent job of it, looking at the last couple of decades, but there's still a long way to go. All right, that's who the political party is. That's why people are protesting. Who then were the protestors? Were they the masses of impoverished folks who haven't gotten enough benefit from Brazil's economic advance in the last decade or so? No. Most of the protesters were conservative, just center-right. We're not even going to call them far-rightist groups, but just center-right conservative folks who maybe from the get-go never liked the idea of this left-leaning political party in charge, but also, say, richer folks who say, hey, we don't want to have wealth redistributed in our society because the wealth is ours. We don't want stuff taken away from us. You can equate this roughly, to say the Republican, capital R Republican, and Democratic, capital D, Democratic parties of the United States of America. So in the U.S. political system, the Democrats are just center-left, the Republicans are just center-right, and you know kind of what those political parties stand for. It's kind of like that in Brazil. I'm overgeneralizing. That's what I tend to do so that you can understand things much quicker. So let's say the Democrats, the Workers' Party, are more like Brazil are more like the Democrats in the United States, spending more money on social programs and things of that nature. That's what the Workers' Party has been doing in Brazil. The Republican Party is everybody else in Brazil, and it's mostly Republican Party people who have been out protesting, again, in the hundreds of thousands and or up to a million. Now, that may sound like a lot of people, and it is. That's serious participatory democracy in action. But do keep in mind, Brazil has, I don't know what their population is off the top of my head, but tens and tens of millions. They're one of the top, biggest, most populated countries on planet Earth. So it is a very active group of people, but it's not representative of the entire whole. Dilma Rousseff and her political party did win a free and fair democratic election a couple years ago. They just squeaked by, but they won. So half the society still supports them. What you're seeing in these protests is the other half of society, the more center-right folks, conservative folks, let's call them Republicans of Brazil, that were never that enamored with a left-leaning party being in power to begin with, and then compounded with the fact that the economy is starting to suck badly. Now, and there's all this corruption, now these folks have something to grab hold of and say, ah, all those left-leaning goofballs need to be thrown out of office. There's too much corruption within the system. Again, these are the protesters saying this, not me personally, but the center-right protesters all weekend, some of them had banners saying, the military needs to intervene. The military needs to have a coup and throw the government out because it's so corrupt. There's these left-leaning fools. They're all on the take. The government's on the take, and therefore nothing fair and honest can happen until the military intervenes and fires everybody and we can start over again. Now, that's a little troubling. These same protesters who would have those banners, and not everybody had those banners, by the way. Not everybody was calling for military intervention. Most of the banners were saying, hey, our government sucks. Hey, Dilma Rousseff should step down. Hey, she should be impeached for all this corruption and bad stuff that's going on. That was the majority of the signage and what people were saying. But there were some further rightist opinions who were saying, yes, we want military intervention because the Brazilian government is kind of like Cuba or Venezuela. They're hardcore wacko leftists who are driving our country into the ground. That would be the opinion of the far right, people who are asking for military intervention. Now, that's a little troubling, though. But that's a little extreme and a little troubling because most Latin American countries, specifically Brazil, had military intervention in their past and did have military coups when the military would step in and take over. A junta, we call it, military junta, would step in and control the country with an iron fist through the military. That happened in 1964 in Brazil, and I think those folks, I believe that military junta controlled Brazil from 1964 to 1985. Yeah, that's getting into more modern history. And really, ever since Brazil returned to democracy in 1986 is when you started to have this rising power of the PT Workers' Party. And again, they've been in power for most of the last 20 years now. So calling for military intervention is a little frightening because it's happened in Brazil. It's happened in Chile. They had a military dictator in charge. It's happened in Argentina multiple times. And you could kind of pop around most of Latin America in the last 100 years and be like, oh, yeah, those big periods of military / right-wing rule that the region has worked hard against in the last several decades to be fully transitioned into a fully democratic category. And they all are. All the countries down there are now democracy. So wanting a return to military rule seems a little bizarre, a little extreme, and perhaps even a little frightening because there is a history of it, and the history is not that old. Do keep in mind, seems like a flash quiz question, the current president of Brazil, Dilma Rousseff, was imprisoned and tortured in her youth by that very military dictatorship that was in charge of Brazil. She was an adamant, open leftist, perhaps even labeled as a terrorist at some point in her career, I'm sure. But she was fighting for democracy back in the 70s and 80s and paid the price for it. And then, lo and behold, a few decades later, she's the president of a country. That's a success story. That's what Brazilians should be proud of. And yes, they should also be proud that they can now protest against that woman. I mean, that's good. You can do that in a democratic society. You can't really do that in a military dictatorship. So a little strange that people might be calling for that. All right, but let me catch up and finish up because this is supposed to be a short one, aren't they all? But as suggested, they went through this military dictatorship up until the mid-80s, and then they became a democracy, and the more left-leaning parties started to win more and more of the vote and indeed have controlled most of the country's government offices, specifically the presidency, for the last 16 years. Now, over the course of the 1990s and 2000s, this leftward sweep in the Brazil's government also is symbolic of a leftward sweep that happened across all of South America and Latin America. When you go look at leaders of virtually all countries in South America now, they're on the left-leaning side, including some pretty hard, far left-leaning ones like Cuba and Venezuela, Bolivia. Brazil, though, Argentina's left-leaning, Chile's left-leaning president right now. Brazil, though, do know this, has always been fairly centrist in this. There are political opponents who were protesting this weekend may have been calling Dilma Rousseff a hardcore socialist, but that's not really the case. Brazil never went as far left as Venezuela or Cuba, two countries that are economically hurt right now. Venezuela's collapsing. So the political enemies of Dilma Rousseff are saying, ah, look, they're trying to make us into another Venezuela, and look how well socialism has worked there. That place is falling apart. And it is, but for different reasons. Lots of different reasons. So Brazil was never really that far left. They do have Petrobras, the state-owned oil company, and they do have other national industries, but it's pretty much a kind of capitalist. It's more like America and capitalism than it is communist. It's not near the communist side of things. It's a blend of free market, private enterprise, and some government-owned stuff. And yes, they do collect a lot of money via taxes or national industries in order to redistribute wealth to try to raise standards of living. That's why they're more on the left, but I definitely would not put them in the extreme left category of a Cuba or Venezuela. And they, during the late 90s and early 2000s, actually the whole first decade, 2000 to 2010, is when Brazil did undergo kind of a really a revolutionary surge in their economy under the prior president, Lula da Silva. Go look him up. The country did very well. It's when they became a BRIC country, the BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, China, where tons of foreign investment were coming in. As I've suggested, their currency got highly valued. It was one of the hot commodities. People were like, oh my gosh, Brazil's such a vibrant society. It's so good. It's a good place to invest. Invest in business, buy their currency, do all this stuff, money coming in, tons of construction, and like, wow, things are really happening here. Brazil's a second-tier economic world power, and it's going to keep on rolling. And they did a lot of good by moving around monies in the form of benefits for a lot of their society, for a lot of the peoples. So that's what the Workers' Party is known for, and they met with pretty good success for a good, strong decade, a decade and a half. But then the Brazilian shizzle hits the fan. Because soon after, and this is why people are protesting against this woman specifically, soon after she got elected, and it's just a couple years ago, is when the World Cup party was just starting for Brazil. The Olympic party was just starting for Brazil, but Brazil's economy itself was starting to tank. Why? I've already alluded to some of these things. A slowdown of the global economy, excuse me, specifically a slowdown of the Chinese economy, because one of the reasons why Brazil was making so much money there for several decades is it's one of the biggest soybean exporters on planet Earth. I think probably rice as well, sugar. It does a whole lot of commodities that the Chinese economy was just gobbling up because China was growing so fast. So when China slows down, suddenly the demand for a lot of things that Brazil was making money on, it slowed down. Commodity prices started to crash. China's economy slowing, and the cracks started to appear in the facade. And do remember, this is why Brazil's been in the news. All of this is happening simultaneously with the Brazilian government spending billions of dollars to do what? To do what? To help the people? To fight corruption? No, this is when the Brazilian economy or government is spending billions of dollars to build soccer stadiums for the World Cup and redo whole sections of cities to accommodate for foreign tourists. And they're still doing it now because they're having a ramp up for the Olympics. People started protesting Brazil actually a couple years ago, right when before the World Cup even started. People were protesting going, what the hell is going on? Our economy is starting to stagnate a little. There's still tons of poor people. We're building soccer stadiums instead of schools. So this current protest against Dilma Rousseff that happened this weekend it's kind of a continuation of a line of events that have been going on for a couple of years of people protesting because they don't like the direction of the society. They don't like the direction that the government's going in. Again, the government's democratically elected. And they've been doing okay, but all these events have kind of come together all at one time. Poor Dilma. She was riding high, getting elected. Everybody loved this political party, and the economy was doing great, and we're going to have the World Cup. And all that just went to crap fast. Not to crap, but stagnation. Everybody was projecting that Brazil was going to grow by 5 or 6 or 7% a year from now on. And all of a sudden, as soon as she got in office, it was like, yeah, the growth rate just stopped. It's still 2 or 3 or 4%. It's still decent, but it's not where it was. And due to all these other events, it's stagnating, maybe going down. Inflation pressures are going up. Unemployment's now going up. And people are agitated and angry. And the conservative right have basically... we'll say taking advantage of it, but express their opinion that we think all this crap is hitting the fan because of our government, because of the left-leaning nature, because of their policies is why all of this is happening. That may or may not be true. I do not know. No one really knows. But certainly a whole lot of world events have come together to make this a tenuous time to be president of Brazil. And it looked like things were going so well right when she got elected. I would note that the biggest protests were in Sao Paulo. I think I mentioned that at the beginning of the podcast. And that's because Sao Paulo is the biggest, richest city of Brazil. And where there's a lot of money are a lot of people who don't want to part with their money. So Sao Paulo has traditionally been a more conservative, financially, fiscally more conservative component of the Brazilian population. And so Dilma Rousseff and the Workers' Party have never been popular down in Sao Paulo. And they are getting less popular. And thus, that's where the biggest protests were. Let me end with this, because I've referenced it a couple times but not explained it. Corruption is another key theme that the protesters have been bringing up. And one of the reasons why they're saying that Dilma Rousseff herself, President Rousseff herself, needs to be impeached or stepped down. BTW, it's not going to happen. But why would they be saying, the protesters specifically saying, no, she needs to quit or be impeached or be fired? That's because of all the corruption. And Brazil's society is fairly well known for being pretty corrupt, the police force being pretty corrupt too. But the government is, I don't know if it makes the top 10 or top 20 most corrupt governments on planet Earth, but it's on up there. It's a fairly corrupt place from top to bottom. And that means from the president on down to the dog catcher. It's known as being a fairly corrupt society. You need to grease palms to get stuff done. It's one of the things that outsider economists would say, that's one of the things that's holding the country back, actually, is that level of corruption. It stymies progress and growth. But specifically, the corruption allegations that are tarnishing everybody right this second are due to that Petrobras oil company, right? So it's an oil company, and Brazil's got oil, and maybe they have a ton of oil offshore. It's been projected that deep offshore drilling, of which Brazil is one of the leaders of research in deep water drilling, and that's because there might be more oil than we've even seen so far on planet Earth off the shore of Brazil. They think. They haven't got to it yet, but they're working on it. But Brazil's an oil exporter, I believe, and the company, Petrobras, is state-owned. And it makes a ton of money. And the corruption allegations that have been swirling are that because it's a government entity, that the Workers' Party has been using it as a pool of money to use discretionary to do what they want to with it. It's been estimated that $30 billion has been pulled out of the state oil company just to grease palms and give to Workers' Party political platforms of people running around the country, and maybe even $1 trillion given to the Rousseff campaign when she was running for president. So it's that sort of internal corruption that's now starting to be uncovered that people are furious about, and rightfully so. And what's interesting to me is that President Rousseff herself has not been implicated in this directly. But what's interesting to me is a whole bunch of other people in the government have. I think the governor of Rio de Janeiro has been implicated in this. And I think a couple of her cabinet members have been by name saying, yes, this people received money or they moved money around. So there's this huge investigation. Actually, it's called the Car Wash. Car Wash is the name of the investigation. Working at the car wash, yeah. No, nobody in Brazil wants to hear about the car wash. This car wash is a broad investigation looking into where all this money went, who's going to be implicated, and who's going to jail. And I think, you know what? All of this stuff, the car wash investigation, which currently is investigating 40 different politicians and 20 or 30 different business leaders, many of these folks from the Workers' Party, including sitting members of the House and Senate in Brazil. I mean, this is a big deal. This is a big investigation. Names are being named, and people are going to go to jail. Now, that is a big deal. But also, back to the protests themselves, I think all this is great. I think it's fantastic. This is democracy. This is transparency. This is a very good thing for Brazilian society. Because the alternative is, you don't hear about any of this. That nobody ever got, nobody ever protests, nobody cares, nobody pays attention, or that the government has covered it up so well, nobody knows about it. So to me, these are actually kind of good events. And when asked about the protests themselves, President Rousseff said, thumbs up. Yes, of course. We're a democracy. I wholeheartedly approve of people protesting. This is good. What a great thing for a world leader to say. They're protesting against her. They want her head on a platter, and she's saying, good, this is healthy for our society. So I love Dilma. I know the conservative right does not, and that's fine, but as a person and as a leader, I respect her, and I think she's doing the right thing. And I believe that the street demonstrations show the vibrancy of this democracy. It's keeping the government on its toes. I mean, think about this. A million people have come out and said, hey, this is unacceptable, and we're going to have more protest about it. And again, people 2 years ago were saying government spending is unacceptable, and we want more stuff for the people and less soccer stadiums. The government has to respond to this, and they have been. They've been responding to the protest 2 years ago by changing budget allocations and trying to redistribute wealth in better ways to serve the people. And the protests now against this corruption probe are making them internalize and say, okay, we're going to have an official investigation, and yes, names are going to be named, and people are going to jail. That's a good thing. That's what a good government does. Even if it hurts its own political party, or maybe even hurts its chances of winning the next presidential election. So, I think this is great. I mean, people, business executives and government employees facing jail time, people getting indicted, people getting stuff taken from them. One of the funnier stories was there was like a regional judge. I don't know the exact names, but some regional judge who was like this, campaigner saying, "Hey, I'm Mr. Clean," and he went after he was the judge sitting for a corruption trial of some dude who stole millions, some executive who stole millions or embezzled or bribed millions, and they took a bunch of stuff from this guy. He was charged with embezzlement and bribery. They took millions from him. They took his yacht. They took his cars. And then here's the funny part. Then the judge who ruled on that business guy who got busted, the judge got busted driving one of the cars that was impounded from the millionaire businessman. So the judge then had to go to jail. And you're like, yeah, it's funny. It's terrible. It's funny. It shows the level of corruption. But again, you're hearing about it, and that's a very positive thing for democracies to be doing. And honestly, I'll end on this. Damn it, when are we going to start doing it in the United States of America? When's the last time anybody protested about anything? Who went to jail for the whole debacle of the world recession that started as an American recession because of absolutely horrific and illegal banking and finance practices? How many people really get thrown in jail for insider trading in Wall Street? I mean, no one, we all know that all this bad stuff is going on in America. No one really, everybody whines about it, but nobody protests about it. Nobody ever gets indicted. Nobody goes to jail. So I think, you know, that kind of spirit, the Brazilian spirit of democracy and participatory democracy and doing things and changing things, and your voice actually matters because they're down there changing their government. How much more awesome can a democracy get? And it's about high time people in this country got fired up as well. Woo! all right, I got to lower my blood pressure now. Let's bring this back down. So is this a true democratic dilemma for Dilma? Not really. It's a vibrant democracy. It's doing what democracies do. It's not always messy. It's not always tidy. It's all usually messy. People get indicted. People get in trouble. And the fact that they're being more open about it, that people are protesting about it, that they're investigating it, that people are going to go to jail, that's a good thing. And hopefully it's going to be good for the Brazilian economy in the long term. Short term, it still looks like Brazil is going to be struggling for a while due to the global recession and the lack of demand for a lot of its commodities. But if they stay on that democratic track, they'll be back in the BRIC action soon as one of the up-and-coming hustling economies and most vibrant societies on planet Earth. Party on, Brazil. You're doing it right. Plan Avenger style. Party on.